Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us on this edition of Trumpet Radio Live on 101.3 KPCG. Coming up on today's program, a look at a couple of headlines that piqued our interest, some interesting things that are happening in the news today. Also, we'll see what's coming up on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show and what's at thetrumpet.com today. Interesting historical note, quite a few write-ups on the Trumpet about that. We'll discuss that. Also, have you noticed there's a lot of lawlessness in the United States? It's getting worse and worse. We have a lot of information about that and more this edition of Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live on Thursday, 2nd of November. Got my dates right. Got my day right, I think. That's good. Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon with you here today as well. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, please do that at KPCGFM. And if you'd like to email us, you can send those emails to comments@kpcg.fm. Happy to see those. And so one of the things that happened, of course, in the world of sports was the Houston Astros. Some good news for Houston. They won the World Series last night. I made a really good decision. I watched it until the seventh inning, and then I said, I got to go to bed. It was 5-1. I just had this sense like that was it. And sometimes you think, well, if I go to bed, then it'll end up being this great, great game. And I saw the score this morning, and I realized that I made the right call.
That is when it did seem to set in, because the last Astros pitcher, Charlie Morton, did pitch the last four innings of the game, and he was dominating by that point. I mean, the Dodgers couldn't even do anything with him. Earlier in the game, though, it looked like they kept having these opportunities with two or three guys on base, and they just never got the big hit. They were something like 1-for-13 with at least a guy on second base.
Yeah, there was, I think at the point I was watching, I think there was, they had left 10 runners on base. So disappointing for them, exciting for Houston. And then I guess one of the Astros players proposed to his girlfriend.
That was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said yes, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, she had that kind of that expected reaction where she didn't speak for a long time and she was starting to cry and they were hugging each other for a long time. It was pretty cute.
Yeah, well, hopefully that works out for them, because those are kind of neat to see. One of the things about the World Series is that it had really, really good ratings. People were very interested in the games, and Fox did very well with the ratings on that. On the other side of the spectrum, I guess, the NFL ratings continue to slide, and something happened yesterday that makes them a little more nervous. People, of course, have been upset, the fans and others, and now when the paying sponsors get upset, that's where you've got a problem. It says Wednesday was really bad for Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, because even the happy-go-lucky pizza guy, Mr. Papa John's, you know the Papa John's guy from those commercials, he publicly turned on the NFL, and he did it with all his stockholders and the larger financial community listening. In an earnings call for investors that would send a cannonball, they say, through the wood panels of every NFL ownership office, he said this: the NFL has hurt us by not resolving the current protest debacle to the players' and owners' satisfaction. He said, NFL leadership has hurt Papa John's shareholders. Leadership starts at the top, and this is an example of poor leadership. So they can't fire the owners of the NFL teams because they own the teams. They can get rid of the commissioner, which I don't think it's happened in a long time anyway. So they're not sure what to do, but they have to resolve it because it's starting to hurt the bottom line.
Right, and the commissioner's job is to serve the owners. So if I think it's 24 owners decide that they want to get rid of the commissioner, they can do it. That's obviously three-quarters of the owners, though. So everyone has to agree that Roger Goodell is incompetent, basically, before they can get rid of him. But this just is a way of getting back to reality. The NFL is a business. The sponsors are all businesses. And so the real thing that matters is how much money is being made. That's what they should all be focusing on instead of trying to make these social stands, I guess.
Yeah, I think maybe the players have lost sight of that because I guess the NFL has been around for a while and people can play there if they're good enough and make money. But it's like you say, it's just a business. And if it's not a profitable business, it stops happening. I mean, how many sports leagues have they tried to start up over the years that flopped?
Right.
Even in football. Remember they had like the XFL, which lasted for like a couple of weeks. They had, they tried like European NFL or something that didn't last. There's all kinds of different leagues over the years that they've tried. People weren't interested. They didn't make money. And so it folded. Somehow, miraculously, the WNBA still exists.
Right.
That's because the NBA keeps pumping the money in. But no, I don't think anyone's watching it. But at the end of the day, if people aren't watching or if they don't want to buy the products that are being sold during the games, the advertisement there, the players don't get paid either, and neither do owners. So then you're free. You're free to protest all day, but you're not going to get paid anything, and you're not going to have a job.
Yeah, this controversy does just kind of highlight two different worldviews. The realistic one is that America is a capitalistic society, and what matters is the amount of money coming into these different companies. The other one is that you can completely undermine a business, and even as employees, you can destroy a business just because you want to make a social stand on work time. And that just is so detached from reality. That's why people are tired of it. You can protest all you want to, but you can't go to work and then at your job start forcing unpleasant things on your viewers.
And I think in a lot of cases with these individual players, I think ultimately it gets back to the media egging them on. Now, there might be one or two that would do this on their own, but I think a lot of them are just kind of following because, oh, I guess this is the thing to do. And they're getting egged on by the media. And in a lot of cases, certain aspects of the media are professional protesters. All they do is go on TV and protest things
right.
and complain. They get paid for it. And I think they've duped a lot of these players into thinking that everybody's on board with this. Most people are not.
Yeah, and it would be really nice, and we've talked about it off the air a lot, how if we just had one or two reporters in these big huddles of reporters around these players asking honest questions and asking for elaboration on these guys' personal beliefs, I think these guys would have a dose of reality a little bit faster. They'd understand that they can't articulate what they're feeling. They have a lot of emotions pent up, and now they're trying to express it by kneeling during the national anthem, which obviously is not the best way to make a protest anyway. But they can't tell people logically why they're doing what they're doing or why they're so upset. And that's because they've been brainwashed. They think that there are all these horrible injustices for all these different people when the facts simply don't bear that out.
Yeah, it's a very good point that it's an emotional response that they're having, and we're going to talk about that later, looking at a reprint article that's really good about the lawlessness we see in America today, and really the West, but focuses on the U.S., and it gets back to an evil spirit. It gets back to playing on emotions. Not a lot of logic, not a lot of truth, but a lot of emotion, and that's what you see happening in just a lot of areas of society. We'll take a look at that article here towards the end of the program. Here's one other headline that's interesting, and I think it's worth just mentioning in relation to a really great free book we have. It's an ebook at thetrumpet.com, Biblical Manhood, and it's lengthy. There's a lot in it, and it looks at how God defines manhood, how men should be men. Can we say that today?
Ooh.
Men should be men, and how they should handle themselves. And, of course, it's a great book to have because there's such an attack against men and fatherhood. We see that all over. And so it's good to get back to the Bible's teaching on manhood. And would you be surprised to find out that there's been more attacks against men and boys? They're having a meeting up in Chicago. I think it's the Obama Foundation. Is that what it's called? Do you know?
I think I'm not really too familiar with that.
Something to that effect. Yeah. They had a meeting up there, and so they had some speakers, and one of the featured speakers was Mrs. Obama, former First Lady, and here's a few of her comments about boys. She says, "It's like the problem in the world today is we love our boys and we raise our girls. We raise them to be strong, and sometimes we take care not to hurt men, and I think we pay for that a little bit." So I'm not sure exactly what she's getting at. I mean, I think I know, but it's kind of convoluted. She said, y'all should, that's a quote, y'all should get you some friends and talk to each other, because that's the other thing women do. We straighten each other out on some things, our girlfriends. Well, no matter who you are, I mean, the Bible's what we need to look at. if we want to be straightened out on something, if our thinking is not right, that's where we need to go, is the Bible. That's not a, no matter who you are, if we're not looking back to the Bible, we're just looking to our own reasoning or our friend's reasoning.
Exactly. And hearkening back to earlier, we're not offended by those comments. We just simply disagree with them. That's not going to wreck our day hearing something like that, but it is incredibly wrong to pretend like we only love raising our boys or we only love our boys. I mean, that it seems like all of society is geared toward helping the girls. They do better in school. They do better with their careers. I mean, at what point do we acknowledge that women have equal rights and that they are just as loved as the boys and the men?
She continued and said, it's powerful to have strong men, but what does that strength mean? You know, does it mean respect? Does it mean responsibility? Does it mean compassion? Sure. Yeah. It does, actually. If you look at the biblical manhood book, of course it does. But you know what it also means? Leadership.
Knowing what's right and wrong and standing up for what's right.
She didn't mention leadership.
Yeah.
She wants them to be compassionate. How about lead? Because that's what men were designed to do.
Stop being forced to follow.
Within their families. Yeah. That's what the Bible says. It says, are we protecting our men too much so they feel a little entitled and self-righteous sometimes? But that's kind of on us too as women, she says, and mothers, as we nurture men and push girls to be perfect. Well, again, get biblical manhood and see what God says about what a man should be and how he should be. And, you know, if a man's living the right way, he protects his family. He has responsibility for his family. He's very compassionate, but he also leads.
Mm-hmm.
And so you hear a lot of comments like this, and I think they're worth mentioning, and then just saying, look, let's just go, let's see what the Bible says about it, because that's where we get our foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's disturbing to hear things like that, just because this is a woman with a lot of power. I mean, she went right to the top. We haven't had a female president yet, but it certainly is a possibility. I don't quite know what areas she thinks that women are being held back in, or how girls are being mistreated. Obviously, there's the equal pay myth that they make 72 cents on the dollar compared to men. There's a lot of supposed injustices like that, but like you said, it does get back to what the Bible says, and the Bible says the man is the head of the home. People would be outraged to hear something like that. The Bible also says that Satan attacks any institution from the very top. That's why you see the attacks like this. That's why men are being assaulted the way they are by society. Just they're being completely undermined. They're being told that maybe they should be the ones staying home and nurturing the children, even though they're just not as good at that. I mean, that's what it comes down to. The women are not as good at, I guess, conquering the business world. It's just not part of our aptitudes. I mean, we can both excel in either area, but why would we have to turn things upside down compared to what God intended for us when he's the one who created family in the first place?
Yeah, and I think that's the whole leaning here of all those comments, is that the men need to be more like women.
Yeah.
When they talk about, you know, respect, well, they're talking about respecting women, which means, in their minds, I think it means following instead mm-hmm. of leading, or compassion, you know, things that again they're pushing their agenda there. But we have to look at what the Bible says about it. Biblical Manhood is a great book at thetrumpet.com, and it takes all of its information from the Bible. That's what it bases it on. And so compare for yourself, take a look, you know, what does the Bible say, and then what does society say? It's two different things.
Yeah. And if we look at the fruits as well, what type of men and women have we produced since these types of messages became so popular? It used to be men were on one end, women were on the other end. Now they're like meeting in the middle. In a lot of cases, they're androgynous. You can't even tell who is a male and who is a female. I mean, especially with the transgenderism movement, on any given day, you can choose whichever one you want to be. So it has gotten confusing. It's like we are blending the two genders into one and saying that they're no different, when God created variety, especially in the genders. The men are physically stronger. The women have a lot more, I guess, empathy and compassion naturally in a lot of cases. Why would we have to deny that there are natural differences and therefore natural roles that we could fit into better?
Yeah, there's some really good write-ups at thetrumpet.com also Well, just a lot of good ones. I'm trying to think off the top of my head about them, but there's a bunch of them that you can look up that talk about family, talk about the role of fatherhood, conspiracy against fatherhood. That's a great booklet to get. So it's a changing society, and you do have to go back to the Bible and see what God says about it, or else, boy, it's sure confusing. Make sure you stop and check out thetrumpet.com today, the new look, trumpet.com. Top story is God's hand in the Balfour Declaration. That's by Brent Noctegal. And that story is also talked about on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show today a fair bit. It's quite an historical event. And that's what happened on this day in history. It was 1917. The Balfour Declaration proclaimed support for a Jewish state in Palestine. So there's been a lot of good write-ups about that there at the Trumpet today. And then also the Trumpet brief from yesterday, which is posted there on Brad McDonald's blog, just about how the more people try to get involved in Israel and in Jerusalem, the harder things get for them. It's an area that's had nothing but problems, you know, for many, many years, and he covers some of that history. And then there's actually like a mental condition people have where they go there and they're wanting it, you know, Jerusalem to be like New Jerusalem, and yet it's as the Bible describes it, but yet it's clearly not like that today, and then they have a mental problem over it. So it's not a lot of people that have that, but it's even a thing. So he mentions that in the Trumpet brief and just talks about some of the history there of Israel and Jerusalem. And again, you can listen, you can check out that story and then listen to the Trumpet Daily today about that 1917 Balfour Declaration, where a Jewish state in Palestine, which is, of course, not popular today at all. It probably never has been, but most of the international community, I guess, roots for the Palestinians, and they're definitely against Israel.
Right, and Balfour and Churchill did a lot to ensure that the Jews were able to get their own sovereign nation. But if you look at Britain today, it is uniquely anti-Semitic. It's a lot worse than it is here. It's a lot worse than most places in the world. And it's hard to figure that out on a physical level. Why would people who are so similar to each other, they come from the same ancient background. The Bible brings that out, how Britain and Judah are descended from very similar people. And yet now it's like all of Britain almost is turning against their brothers. It is a betrayal. And you can't really describe that on just a physical plane, why the hatred is like it, like that in Britain.
Yeah, I think Prime Minister Netanyahu is over there in Britain today. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's facing protests, or some that refuse to meet with him because they're all upset. But so really interesting, great history to look at there. And then what's exciting about it is we're looking to the future, where once God establishes Jerusalem and that area there, then it's going to have the peace that it needs. And until then, it's not going to have it. One other thing that's interesting that happened on this day in 1783, General George Washington, who, of course, was later the first U.S. president, he bids farewell to his army after the War of Independence there. So probably some tears shed, I would imagine. I think the troops loved him and admired him. And so one of the great men of U.S. history. I don't care what they say. He did some good things.
The facts are the facts, regardless of the raging white-hot emotions that we see about this topic now. He was a hero, and he easily could have taken kingship over the entire country, but he had the character not to take that position.
Yep, yep. You don't see that today. We want to talk about this, a really good reprint article. It's free, and it's at thetrumpet.com, and it ties into what we've been talking about this week with character in crisis. The title of the article is Lawless: Why America is Losing Its Rule of Law. And this is every day in our headlines. It says, the Greek Empire tried to establish the rule of law. It failed, and the empire collapsed. The Roman Empire also tried to build a society based on law, and the Romans were unable to do so, and their empire fell. Many other empires experienced the same failure. It's impossible to step out of the flow of history and think like, well, history won't affect us. You can see that in those empires of the past, when they could no longer keep the rule of law, they couldn't keep it established, they collapsed. And in those cases, those empires were around much longer than the United States of America. We're going through the same process today. We cannot keep this rule of law. It's falling apart everywhere and around us, and the next thing that happens is the empire collapses.
Right, and it really is even just a common sense issue. Even if we didn't know about the history of it, what if we just looked at the way that things have changed so rapidly? Can we really sustain a new crusade against a foundational institution of America every couple of weeks? I mean, that's how fast it's happening, where you attack the statues, you attack different gendered bathrooms, you attack every little issue like that, and it's just one to the next, to the next, to the next. And in the process, this nation is deteriorating. We're so focused on divisive issues at home that we don't realize what's going on outside of our boundaries with these nations that would gladly take over and conquer us if we were not alert enough.
Yeah, there's just a law of history here that if you make exceptions to the rule of law, the whole system collapses. And famous British historian Paul Johnson defined the rule of law like this. He said it's the essence of the rule of law is the impersonality, omnipotence, and ubiquity. In other words, it's the same law for everyone, everywhere, whether you're a king or an emperor or a high priest. The state itself, anybody, everybody, are subject to that law. And that's what keeps everybody safe. It keeps people from falling under the rule of a dictator or some sort of an overlord, because everyone has to follow that same law. And as is pointed out here, if you make exceptions to that, then the whole system collapses. We see that constantly, even in the healthcare thing, right? The Obamacare was just sort of passed without people really looking at it. And but to my knowledge, a lot of the people in government, they don't have to have that.
No, they exempted themselves from it, and yet they were adamant that it was so beneficial for the general populace. And if you look at someone like Hillary Clinton, it's widely acknowledged that if she were anybody else with less power, she would be in prison right now for the many crimes that she has committed over the past couple of decades. So there are things like that. Melanie Phillips wrote about how when she worked at The Guardian, which is a extremely left-leaning paper over in Britain, she asked why so many of them were sympathetic toward the Palestinians when they were carrying out all these terrorist attacks. And she said, isn't that wrong of any group to do? And basically what they told her is that, well, the Palestinians are the oppressed group. We actually have a lower standard of their behavior for them because they are oppressed. So again, it's different standards for different people. It's not about human decency and right and wrong. It's about certain groups being able to get away with things that other people can't.
Yeah, and a system can't last, you know, trying to go that way. This reprint says, in many cases, our people are confused even about what the law is in the first place. And many others are actively working to undermine our laws, including our constitutional law. So you have two groups there, really. You have those that know enough about it and want to get rid of it to know how to undermine it. And then you have a large swath of the population that doesn't even know what the law is in the first place. You know, people like to talk about their rights all the time, particularly if they're being told they can't do something, which a lot of cases is maybe the law. Like, hey, you know, you can't, you know, speed through town. Well, I know my rights. Well, that's not, those two things don't work.
You can't block traffic when you're protesting.
Right.
That's illegal.
Exactly. So, but, and so if you look at the educational institutions, they've really laid the groundwork for this, because if you grow up and you don't really have any education about history, or not much true history, maybe some biased history. And if you don't learn about the Constitution, or you don't learn about the way the government in the U.S. was set up and functions, how do you know what anybody's doing? You have no idea. And so that's the danger, that the dangerous equation that we see happening in the U.S. today. Some people trying to undermine the law, and then huge amounts of the population swayed by the media and emotion, not even knowing what the law is. And why getting rid of the law actually will hurt them in the long run, even though they make it seem like it'll be better for them. You get rid of the law and the rule of law, it's going to hurt everybody.
Right, especially in a nation like this where people you disagree with are likely to take power every 8 years. And so if you just keep on expanding the powers of the government, you know, maybe you are pro-homosexual marriage and you think that a wedding, like a baker, should be forced to bake the cake. Okay, what if someone takes power in a few years from now, disagrees with you, and decides to persecute you and run you out of business for whatever your beliefs are? That's the thing that people don't seem to consider. If you give powers to the government, they never give it back. The government never gets smaller. They're going to keep that power for the rest of eternity. And what you see now is the radical left basically preying on the ignorance of millions of, and millions of people. They push books in the universities, history books by people like Howard Zinn, who is an open, avowed communist, or at least he was. I think he's dead now, but that is such a popular book. It is a best-selling book about American history, and basically what it does is it brings out grievance after grievance in about 800 pages and says, look, America wronged all these different groups of people, and now they deserve to pay for their sins. You can't grow up thinking that is the case and then still be proud to be an American. America is, it has a history of heroes, not of injustices, although some of those did take place. They're not as bad as they are brought out to be now. But you have people who learn the wrong type of history. They're constantly told by leaders in the radical left that they are being done wrong as well, and that they need to exploit every grievance and they need to complain about it until they get their way. It's just an unsustainable way to run a nation.
Yeah, and as was mentioned just earlier when we were talking about this, early immigrants to the U.S., were seeking religious freedom. That's why they came. They planned to establish the rule of God on earth, if you can imagine that. And that means that they had the goal, each person had the goal of keeping the Ten Commandments of God, the basis of all righteous law. And then the question is posed, how many Americans are willing to face that reality today? Today, we often fight not to establish the law, but to promote lawlessness. And that's true. You'd have to look at just society in general and say that's absolutely true. Under the guise of freedoms, they're destroying the law, whether it be, you know, they'll talk about you have the right to take a drug now. You have the right to look at pornography. You have the right to you name it. And what do all those things do? They destroy, you know, whether people want to admit it or not, they destroy. They're against God's law. And so it's like the Bible says, well, they promise you freedom, but they're enslaving you. And that's what's happening with the radical elements of the country, is that they're promising everybody freedom while they're enslaving everybody. So now what do you have? Well, now you got drug addicts. Now you got people that are hooked on pornography. And by the way, a lot of cases go out and commit horrible crimes. Mm-hmm. And then people say, well, why did they do it? Well, you can tell why they did it.
Yeah.
And so you name it. You go down the list. You know, you're free to be enslaved to this, 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 and this. That's really what's being said, but it's because they got away from the law of God.
Yeah, and conveniently enough, it does seem like all those freedoms are coming from an ever more powerful government. So they're totally okay with saying, do what you want, come as you are, free yourself of all moral restrictions, and actually, by the way, you should give us more power because we'll make your life more enjoyable. So they're sneaking that in there as well. They're becoming more and more totalitarian. I mean, the nation was fundamentally transformed under President Obama. He was right that he was going to accomplish that. That's what he pledged to do, and he did, because he broke the law countless times. I mean, you could fill a couple thousand page books with the number of times he broke the law. And now people are turning around and getting mad when Mr. Trump does anything similar, which he hasn't really done as much as he could have. But the power of the government is expanding because, look, they're the bastions of freedom. They're the ones who are going to tell us the right way to live, and they're going to help us out. But historically, you see what happens when the government gets that big and people with human nature get in charge. It's not ever going to end up well. Human nature is not naturally good. It is evil, and it's getting worse. And we have leaders who could easily take advantage of that.
John Adams said that statesmen may plan and speculate for liberty, but it is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. And that's right. We talked about that a little bit the other days. Religion and morality, those are the two things. And they're being undermined. It's even interesting, you know, yesterday they released all these documents from Osama bin Laden that they found. And, you know, what else do they find? He has pornography and some Hollywood movies and things. And it's interesting. That's what we spread. Even though he very much disagreed with the United States in general, he did agree with that, apparently. Mm-hmm. You didn't find a Bible. He didn't get a Bible from the U.S. He got pornography.
Right.
And I'm not, I don't know if it came from the U.S., but I mean, there's plenty of it coming from the U.S. But that just shows, what are we spreading around the world? We're not spreading religion and morality. We're spreading evil and lawlessness.
Yeah, actually, one of my friends talked with a Muslim who had some sympathies. Years ago, he talked with someone who had some sympathies toward these types of terrorist actions, because he says, well, look, you export all these evils around the world. And my friend actually confronted him and said, well, you engage in those evils. And he's like, yeah, they're addictive. We're enslaved to them. It's not like we're proud of it like you guys are. We not only are enslaved to sin, but we flaunt it to the rest of the world. The difference is that other people hate our sins but are still just hooked on them, and they can't break free, so instead they attack us.
Yeah. Even the Afghanistan's been a problem for years. You know, one of their big things to do over there is they grow the drugs. I think whatever they grow to make heroin. Where are they selling that to? Well, predominantly the United States. You know, I mean, so we should be exporting religion and morality to the world. We go into other nations sometimes, I don't get a lot of flack for it, but go in there and say, well, we want to build up this democracy here. And there's pushback against that. And in some cases, it probably should be. What are we bringing there? You know, are we bringing... Now, if we were bringing democracy based on religion and morality, that's one thing. But if we're coming in and we're just bringing lawlessness and we're bringing our drug addictions and all these other problems, you can see why there's pushback against that. So, you know, there does need to be a lot of just self-reflection here in the U.S. as far as what we're involved in. But again, it's all being pushed on the people, and the people are accepting it gladly. But, you know, this is freedom. This is what freedom is. You do whatever you want. Well, you can look in history and societies that have done whatever they want, and there have been some, they're not here anymore.
Right. And probably, I guess, the best government that man has come up with, and most people would probably agree with this, is a limited democracy, a constitutional republic, where the government is theoretically supposed to stay out of your life. They're supposed to provide for national defense and things like that, necessities for the nation. But at the same time, it's almost like the fastest way to acquire every type of evil, you know, to vote or to at least push for things like homosexual marriage and all these drastic moral shifts we've seen lately. In a lot of African dictatorships, for example, that is outlawed, and you get heavily punished if you are caught in a homosexual relationship. Sometimes you have to wonder, is any government really even passable? Man's governments have failed in every way. Either the government is tyrannical and has way too much power, or maybe it doesn't, and yet the people are more lawless than anyone else on the face of the earth.
Yeah. When you get away from those two pillars of religion and morality, you're left with human reason, and it doesn't work out. This reprint article on the lawlessness brings this out. In many ways, it says the problem with this lawlessness started in the courts. If legislators or the president err, they are subject to the voters. They can be voted out. That is not true of the judicial branch. Supreme Court justices are selected for life by the president. Our forefathers designed the Constitution that way so that Supreme Court justices would be less concerned about the people when unpopular judgments had to be made. They're not subject to the voters, only to the constitutional law. But for this system to work, they must indeed be subject to that law. Their job is to interpret the law, or better, let the law interpret itself. They have no authority to rewrite the law. If they rewrite the law, it is almost impossible to correct the error. And so we've seen this go on and on and on, where they're rewriting the law. And this process is disastrous, and it's based on, as it says here, selfish lawlessness, not the law. It's not a matter of, well, what does the law say? It's a matter of, this is what we want to do, so let's figure out a way to make it, you know, make the Constitution say what we want it to, because we want to be selfish and live a way that's terrible. And you see that with a lot of the judges, very often, they're just manipulating the law, rewriting the law to serve their personal bias, or their legalize their personal problems, mm-hmm. sins, and then here we are, stuck with it.
It does seem like in this country, the biggest tyrants a lot of the time can be our justices, because they are exempt from a lot of being voted out of office or being heavily criticized and undermined for their decisions, it's harder as the president of a country like this to take absolute control, although it is still possible. But in this type of supposedly limited government, you know, like my picture of America a couple hundred years ago was that you got your plot of land, you kind of kept to yourself, you probably never saw a government official your whole life. Now it's like the government is taking more power. People are still more free than any other nation in the world, but what we're using our freedom for is lawlessness, thereby electing leaders who will be more susceptible to appointing corrupt court justices. So that's how it translates through. If we were electing righteous leaders, someone like George Washington today, you know that he would thoroughly vet whoever he would appoint to be a court justice, and he would never select someone who is just an activist, someone who is lawless and trying to write their own lawlessness into our laws.
Yeah, activism. That's right. That's what a lot of it is. It says here that the liberal culture often has contempt for history and our founding fathers. They're relying foolishly on their own reasoning, which is not grounded in foundational law. That's just about every news show you might turn on, opinion show, where they're just reasoning amongst themselves as to what they should do. And occasionally they'll try to throw it to some sort of obscure, you know, try to back up what they're saying, but not they can't do it very well because it's lawless. And here's a really important point to think about. This affects all of us. It says the Constitution is being altered dramatically, and it is the foundation of our republic. We are experiencing a constitutional earthquake. Most of our people don't even know it yet. Why don't we know it? Well, because you can still turn on the TV, get on the internet, go to a restaurant, watch a sporting contest.
Yeah.
Because things seem okay. They seem normal. But it says your future is being changed for you, and you don't have any input. The process is sure to lead to anarchy. And that is why it says you and I should be deeply concerned. You know, like you pointed out earlier, okay, somebody wants their personal freedom to commit some act or something. So maybe they make that a law, but then what happens when, you know, the next person comes along and they have a different idea than what you have? But that's the popular thing now. You know, once you start giving up the power of your input into the democratic process and it becomes sort of this mob rule, not based on law, that always turns on people. You know, you're never going to be always leading the mob.
Right.
The mob will turn and start chasing you, and it's going to affect people. But again, people don't know it yet because it's just like, what was it in Rome? They talked about the bread and the circus, right? Well, as long as people have enough to kind of eat and they're entertained, they don't really know what's going on.
But if those things run out, we turn into a mob faster than anyone else. And we've seen that in our various crises, whether it's Katrina or maybe a bad earthquake or fire. What you see is people actually just taking advantage of the situation. They loot, they riot, they burn the cities. And that actually, we should be ashamed of that, especially when compared to other nations that actually are seen helping each other. Gentile nations, like even Japan, they don't have a history with God for thousands of years, and yet they actually respond better. They actually do adhere to some sort of law and some sort of moral code even today, even though it's not necessarily exactly God's way of life. But how is it that as soon as things get a little bit rough here, we see people turning into animals? I mean, it does show you the state of things and the way that people are living in their personal private lives impacts everybody else. You see that right there. They're imposing evils on other people. They're causing the suffering of other people in these types of riots. Anytime something breaks down, imagine in the future when the food runs off the shelves and people are going to be killing each other for a loaf of bread. That's how people are going to respond, because that's how selfish and lawless we've become.
Well, wasn't it in Vegas a couple months back where they ran out of marijuana?
Yeah,
and
they went nuts.
They actually, I think they called it a state of emergency, you know, because they legalized this drug that now people have to have or else.
Yeah.
And so as long as you got it, you can probably keep them somewhat pacified. But when you run out, then it's a state of emergency, or you could just outlaw it. Then you don't have to worry about it. But,
yeah.
You know, I think of like, say, you know, you maybe you've seen this or hopefully haven't experienced it, but you know, if you're responsible for watching some children, whether they be yours or somebody else's, and they're small, and you know, you can see where somebody's barely keeping a lid on it. Like, as long as you're kind of giving them something that they want, it'll be okay. But as soon as they run out of whatever they're interested in, you know, anarchy's going to break loose if you don't have control of it. And that's what's going on in this country in a much more serious way. It's like, well, there's lawlessness all over, but it's kind of somewhat under the surface as long as everybody's getting their little treats. But when those run out, you're going to see the temper tantrum explode.
Adults are just children growing up, and so... you know, obviously we've hopefully advanced in maturity over the years, but still it does show you that carnally all we want is our physical desires, and we want our needs met. And if that's all we care about and we don't have some sort of a spiritual moral code in our lives that supersedes any of our physical desires, well, as soon as our desires disappear, there's going to be trouble, because that's our first priority. We have to get what we want at all costs, even if it means hurting other people.
It's a very good point, because if you get away from those two pillars of religion and morality, a law that's that we would all follow, you are left with only what you carnally want, selfishly want, and there's no two people that want the same thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants something that is in opposition to somebody else, you know. There's one piece of bread and there's two of you. Both of you want it. Yeah. You're going to have a problem. And so when you don't have law there to govern it, you end up with massive problems, and that's what's going to happen. And this reprint article also talks about the liberal religious culture similarly wants a living Bible, just like they want a living constitution that kind of changes and you can kind of interpret it. And it says they want to adapt the Bible to modern times. I mean, that's what we're getting back to here is the Bible, even though every word was inspired by God. And so that's, you know, you can talk about it in terms of, say, like liberal, and then maybe the conservatives would say, well, you know, we're not like that. We don't think like that. Well, what about the Bible, though? I mean, do we have a living Bible, too, where, well, you know, I mean, I'm amazed when people try to take some of these social changes that are completely and very specifically condemned in the Bible, and try to say, like, well, no, I mean, you know, you can do that and still be a Christian. How? You can't.
Like, we have to adapt to the modern age, even though the Bible specifically says God never changes. So what God thinks is right millions of years ago is exactly the same thing as what he thinks is right now. People just don't. They don't want to acknowledge that, because that requires change, doesn't it? It's difficult to put away some of our most base lusts and desires when we could just, you know, say that the document is changing, say that the document's alive, and who knows what's going to be permissible supposedly based on the Bible in 100 years. If time went on that long and people were allowed to decide for themselves, that's people are basically justifying any type of sin when God says he changes not.
Right. There's a lot of really good points brought up about that you can look into for yourself, as we don't have time to do it today. The reprint article is titled Lawless: Why America is Losing Its Rule of Law, and it's a really, really good reprint. It's free. You can download it there at thetrumpet.com, or you could have it sent to you if you want to. But you can download it, get the PDF, print it out, whatever. It's really good to look at and to consider what's happening. Some great points made there. And every time you see a social change or something, you have to stop and say, okay, you know, is our society based on these two pillars of religion and morality, which go back to the Bible, or is it just human reasoning? And in every case these days, it's human reasoning.
There's a lot of arrogance in that, too. People think that they're smarter than the founding fathers. They think they're smarter than the heroes of the Bible, and that, well, we need to update the document for our modern age. We could write a document even better. We could throw out the old document and write a new one that's even better. How could people actually think that? People who have not accomplished anything, who can't even keep their own personal lives under control, and they're going to go and try to rewrite these documents that have proven through many, many years to be the greatest documents in all of history.
I can't even imagine the debacle if they tried to do something like that today. The arguments and it'd be a 20,000 volume set, and he still wouldn't get to the bottom of all of it. Get the reprint. It's really great. Lawless, Why America is Losing Its Rule of Law. Very important for this age we live in particular. Make sure you listen for the Key of David program and the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Coming your way here in just a bit. For myself, Dwight Falk, and Grant Turgeon, have a great rest of your day. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG.